We are again recording at 9 o'clock a.m.
Great, thank you. So at this time, we're going to move to agenda item. My agenda straightened out. 7, informal hearing for case 2319, Mark Morelli. Is Mr.
We are again recording at 9 o'clock a.m.
Great, thank you. So at this time, we're going to move to agenda item. My agenda straightened out. 7, informal hearing for case 2319, Mark Morelli. Is Mr. Morelli on the call with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Mr. Morelli. And do you have counsel? Are you represented?
No.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Morelli, as we get started, I am just going to read a script to kind of help you understand how an informal review, informal hearing goes. And then we'll work through asking you some questions. We'll first hear from Mindy. So for and is complainant MJ on the call? Mr. MJ, if you're on the call, you're muted. I can't hear you.
The board actually opened this complaint after we're adjudicating the case for Mr. Bittinger.
Yeah.
I did notify MJ, the patient who originally complained about Dr. Bittinger's care. I thought he might attend, but he was invited.
Okay, thank you. All right. So the this interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any of the following actions: issue a decree of censure, place restrictions on the license or certificate's practice, issue a civil penalty not to exceed $500, issue other disciplinary actions, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of specific continuing education. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes or rules, the case may be dismissed. If, however, the board finds that the violation warrants potential suspension or revocation of the licensee or certificate holder, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. So at this time, I'll ask Ms. Chepius, please, to swear in the witnesses.
Ms. Richardson and Mr. Morelli, please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, Mr. Morelli?
I do.
Ms. Richardson?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Richardson, would you please give us an overview of the complaint?
Yes. Board opened case 2319 after review and adjudication of case 2227, Eric Bittinger, PT. The board determined that Mr. Morelli, a physical therapy assistant under the supervision of Dr. Bittinger, had added strengthening exercises when it was contraindicated for patient MJ. Based on the investigative report, it did not appear to that Mr. Morelli understood the patient's postoperative protocol. He didn't document that he discussed the patient's specific plan of care restrictions, contraindications with the supervising physical therapist, and the documentation of his treatment notes were not consistent with the standards of practice. The potential violations cited in the investigative report include ARS 32-2044-5, engaging the performance of substandard care by physical therapist assistant, including exceeding the authority to perform tasks selected and delegated by the supervising licensee, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established, and ARS 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate records, and as well as it relates to R-424-304, adequate patient records. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Mr. Morelli, would you like to make an opening statement?
I honestly don't even know what to do in this case. So, I mean, nothing really kind of discussed this with Mindy with the original investigation with Eric and about Eric. And I totally see what you guys are, the statements that are made and understand what's going on. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you. Would you be willing to answer questions from the board?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right, board members. What questions do you have for Mr. Morelli?
Mr. Morelli, when you take on a delegation of a patient from the supervising PT, what does it look like prior to treating that patient with your communication with the supervising PT?
Generally, just an informal discussion, kind of reading through, doing some chart reviewing, just a basic overview of what's going on. And, each PT is different. Some are more specific than others. But it begins with informal communication, and more so just beginning with kind of just reviewing the initial evaluation and all the information presented there, the measures.
Does that take place each visit that the patient comes in?
As far as each PT that I work with is different, some are very specific with each visit, from check-in every few, if there's any questions that I have, and they're always there to answer. But it just depends on the style. It's very kind of when we have time to kind of discuss and just in an informal manner.
Is there any documentation that takes place of those conversations? I couldn't find any within the actual patient notes. Do you document any communication with the PT anywhere else?
I do not. I've never had anybody tell me to document those discussions, to be honest with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Morelli, this is Joshua Greer. Do you remember this patient?
Yes, I do.
Can you just tell us, I've read your statement, I've listened to your interview, can you just tell me what happened in your own words, you're under oath, tell us what happened and how you came to the decision to add resistance to this patient?
It was more like of a act of assist, like stretch and deflection, which, it was wand and basically overhead selection and supine position, and it was just stabilizing off his arm and lightly off the wand more into a stretch into flexion, something that I had seen Eric had worked with his patients before, and it was part of his regimen. So
let me make sure I understand that. You said that Mr. Beidinger had worked with this patient doing resistance, or worked with other patients, and that's just something you saw?
Oh, just patients in general, under the same circumstances.
And what when you say the same circumstances, what do you mean? Similar types of patients?
Similar types of patients, repairs, that type of thing.
Okay. So you had seen him do this with other patients, and you took it upon yourself to do it on this patient? Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, it had been done in the past. We did the same thing, kind of like working them through what normally we would work them through, you know.
And you use the term we. Who are you referring to when you say we?
No, Eric and I.
Okay. And on this patient, do you remember Eric providing you instructions to add resistance? Or I'm just trying to find out if that's something you did on your own.
I honestly couldn't tell you specifically if he had, at that point, had told me anything. I mean, I remember the patient, but I don't remember specifics.
You typically have access to the physician orders, or is that something that you don't have access to?
I can get in there.
And do you remember if you looked on the physician's orders on this case?
As far as I honestly don't recall.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
So this is Mr. Barton. Do you have kind of a routine when it comes to looking at a physician's orders for this kind of treatment? Is that something you do typically?
Yeah, generally with the initial evo, I look through whatever documentation is in the system there.
Tell me about that habit that you have. Can you walk me through kind of how you would normally look at a physician, you know, at surgical records and the notes from the physician as you're beginning this line of care?
I basically begin to kind of just go in. I look at the initial evo, look at, you know, test measures. Then I go into whatever documents are scanned in, and I kind of look into that. And whatever is there, I read through.
Okay. Do you discuss those findings with the physical therapist you're working with, or is that something you're doing independent of what the physical therapist is telling you?
No, independently.
Thank you, Mr. Morelli.
This is Karen Bustillo. With this particular patient, with your initial conversation with Mr. Bittinger, did you discuss the surgical procedure and perhaps that this patient was a little bit more fragile prior to working with him?
I will be honest, I do not even recall.
Okay.
Mr. Morelli, it's Kelly King. Just a question, a little bit about your documentation. It looks like in the notes that we have in our investigative report that there are some pretty significant gaps in your documentation. Can you just tell me about how you determine what to document? Do you use just a checklist, or do you actually write specifics about the patient's interventions that you work with them each day?
More than anything, it's just kind of like, you know, anything that is, like, I feel is, would be helpful, or things that they have difficulties with, struggled with, just kind of things that I see. Things that I feel that are pertinent. I don't utilize like a checklist or anything like that.
Did Mr. Bittinger tell you about his conversation with the physician?
I don't recall. Or you know what, as far as like when he was telling him not to basically do any kind of resistance, like mm-hmm. after the fact, yes, I remember him telling me that.
And again, you didn't, you're saying that in this particular patient, you did not look at the script where it had no, clearly stated it had no resistance written on there by the physician.
I honestly don't recall. I remember the conversation with Eric afterwards when the situation wasn't set.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I did have one more question. Sorry, it's Kelly King again. Yeah. I know that you described a little bit to Mindy, but tell us about, I mean, you, how long have you been a PTA?
Approximately 4 years.
4 years. And tell me about your experience or additional CEUs that you've taken in working with patients with post-op shoulder surgery, particularly like rotator cuff.
I've taken some CEUs on shoulder. I can't honestly recall anything specific as far as, you know, post-op. But, I mean, I've taken just, you know, CEUs, shoulder. But, like I said, I couldn't tell you anything specifically.
Okay, so you're saying that you've taken some CEUs on shoulders.
Yes, treatment of shoulders, but like I said, I can't recall anything specifically post-op surgical.
And typically, how many patients are maybe on your caseload or have been on your caseload over the last 6 months or so that were post-op shoulder surgery?
Past 6 months, I mean, it's hard for me to tell you. I mean, I can tell you maybe like 1 to 2 a month.
Okay, thank you. Great, thank you.
Okay.
Does anyone else have any questions for Mr. Morelli? All right, Mr. Morelli, at this time, the board will go into deliberations. Do you have a closing statement or anything final you want to say to us before we start discussing your testimony and investigative report?
No, I do not.
Thank you. All right. Board members, what are your thoughts about substantiation of the allegations?
I think the allegations are substantiated. I'm very concerned about what happened with this patient in this case. It appears that Mr. Morelli lacks a basic understanding of limits his certificate and what he should do. I wish there was better answers to the questions, but I appreciate the honesty. I just don't think that I think this is just a bad situation.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, looking through the documentation, I mean, I'm noticing a lack of regarding communication with the supervising PT, you know, the delegation that was given to the PT regarding this patient. I just think that there's not a very good understanding of this. What is needed within the documentation. And then as far as the allegation goes,
It just seems like there's just not a great understanding what should be done when a patient comes in post-op in terms of reviewing that script, being, you know, sure what you should be and should not be doing with that type of patient. I think that there's definitely some, there's a lot of merit to that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Giovanni, especially if there's not any conversation happening between the PT and the PTA. So you don't have the conversation with the PT to the PTA, and the PTA is not going doing a deep dive into what the contraindications and what the actual surgeon's order looked like. And so just doing some things that he's seen the supervising PT do with other patients. So I have a lot of concerns about this particular, just the wealth of understanding, especially about specifically a rehab, post-op rehab, and so I, and then added to that the documentation. So I just.
I agree with everyone's comments so far. And again, this is the special case, and this is the case that requires much more conversation. Mm-hmm. And the PTA and the PT, at least in my estimation, needed to have much more close conversation about what was going to be performed and by whom, and how to progress. And so I certainly agree with Mr. Greer that all of the allegations have been substantiated.
Okay. Any other observations or statements? Okay. I'm going to make a motion then to adopt the allegations outlined in the investigative report for the adopting the findings of fact and conclusions of law outlined in Mindy's report with the addition. Were there additional ones, Mindy? I thought you had an additional one.
No, there were.
Okay, thank you. For ARS 32-2044-5, all of the ones included in that, as well as ARS 32-2044-20.
And R-424-304.
And R-424-304.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All right, Ms. Chepius, would you call a vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the allegations as outlined in the investigative report as findings of fact and conclusions of law, specifically ARS 32-2044-5, ARS 32-2044-20, and R-424-304. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. Then I make a motion to issue a disciplinary order for 6 months probation.
Dr. King, I think you need to find your conclusions of law first.
Oh, I thought that was in the first motion.
I do think the motion was a consolidated motion of findings of facts and conclusions of law set forth in the investigative report.
Thank you. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
No, it's okay. I can pull them out separately if that's easier too.
No, if Mr. Harris is okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Yep.
Okay. disciplinary order for, and of course we can always talk about these, but 6 months of probation, 9 hours of CEU for documentation, billing, and supervision. I think he should take some CEUs on post-op shoulder rehab that can't be taken online. I'd like to see that live. Retake the jurisprudence. The documentation, billing, and supervision CEUs can be taken online. But I'm thinking maybe, what do you think, 6 hours of, I'm not ortho, so I'm just asking you, 6 hours of shoulder, post-op shoulder rehab? That's for the physical therapist, okay. Eligible for early termination if all requirements are met.
Second.
Okay, for discussion, any additional amendments suggested?
I would actually like to see him take the jurisprudence exam again. I just don't think that there's a full understanding on what he's allowed to do with the certificate.
Yeah, thanks, Giovanni. That's definitely included. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have 9 hours, 6 months probation, 9 hours of CEUs for documentation, billing, supervision, 6 hours of CEUs for shoulder rehab. That has to be done live. Retake the jurisprudence and eligible for early termination.
I guess my only other concern was really ethics. I can go either way on it. I'm happy about the AZ law exam, and that may address my concerns.
Yeah, I could go either way on that as well. I think he'll have, I mean, Karen, if you want to, I can amend it to add that. What are your thoughts, Giovanni?
I mean, I'm fine with the jurisprudence. I think that'll take care of what I was thinking.
Okay.
But if there's any other concerns, I wouldn't be opposed to building the ethics into the documentation hours.
I say let's just keep it separate. Let's go jurisprudence, and I think that will cover a lot of the pieces that he's going to have to study for to take the jurisprudence. You know, the code of ethics is in there. I do want to also make sure that we state that none of the CEUs are eligible for renewal of his certificate in 2024. Any other discussions or thoughts? Okay, so Ms. Chippias, would you please call the vote?
The motion before you is to for case 2319, Mark Morelli, PTA, is to issue a board order to include probation for 6 months, continuing education, which shall be completed within that six-month probationary period. The courses must be pre-approved and do not count towards renewal requirements. The continuing education shall be completed in the areas of billing and supervision for a minimum of 9 hours, which may be completed online, and post-operative shoulder rehabilitation for a minimum of 6 hours to be taken in person. Also, in the order will be the successful passing of the AZ Law Jurisprudence Exam.
And eligible for early termination?
Yes.
Okay.
Will be eligible for early termination. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastia.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes. One moment of clarification. Monica just asked me It was billing and supervision and post-operative shoulder and rehabilitation. Did I misstate documentation?
Yeah.
Was
billing's documentation and supervision. 9 hours.
Documentation and supervision. Okay, Mr. Harris, we voted on that, and I did not specifically say documentation. So do we rescind that vote and do it again, or what do we do?
I think, Judy, we can just entertain a second motion to add.
Okay.
So I make a second motion to add documentation to be included in the 9 hours of CEUs with supervision and billing.
I second.
Thank you, and I apologize for the omission. It's been moved and seconded to include documentation in the 9 hours of billing and supervision. Dr. King. Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr.